This is the MSO News Sports Weekend High School Football Scoreboard Show, and I'm Bill Newell along with Marty Smith, John Squires, and Tim Kearns. We're talking about some of the North Shore High School football games over the weekend, the impactful games. Our North Shore winners included Lynn English, Marblehead, Linfield, Hamilton, Wenham, St. Mary's, and late last night, Lynn Tech pulled up a win. They're undefeated on the season, and we had so many interesting games that we were all at over the weekend, but Marty and Tim, I want to start with you guys. And the Danvers at Tewksbury game yesterday afternoon that was broadcast here on MSO News Sports, where Danvers fell down behind 21-0, but came back and almost pulled it off. Tim?
Yeah, Bill, it was a tale of two halves with Tewksbury dominating the first half, taking a 21-7 lead. Danvers really not getting anything going. They looked like they were a little stuck in mud until about a little more than halfway through the second quarter, when they went a bit more up-tempo. And they managed to start gashing that big defensive line of Tewksbury with some really solid ground game. And they gave themselves some momentum going into the second half. They managed to hold Tewksbury scoreless that half. The defense really stepped up, did a great job, got more pressure on the Tewksbury quarterback, which proved instrumental because he was hitting a lot of short passes early on. And they managed to score two touchdowns by Ty Coakley just on outrageous catches. One, a leaping one-handed grab deep in the end zone. The other, off a deflection off the intended receiver that Coakley happened to follow the play. The ball fell into his arms and he fell into the end zone. Again, just this elevating Danvers to believe in themselves. And then they scored on a bomb down the middle, wide receiver wide open in the end zone. They caught Tewksbury napping there. They went for 2 points, and that came up just short. However, you know, as Marty mentioned in the broadcast, there was a penalty call, so it wouldn't have stood anyways, even if they had completed the pass. So, I mean, it was a great day, even though they lost Danvers. Danvers really came out the winner emotionally and psychologically in that game, and it really had to give Tewksbury something to think about in terms of holding on to a lead and maintaining a lead, maintaining momentum, having to face Lynn English and their explosive offense next week.
Yeah, Tim, interestingly, too, when the momentum started to shift, or the game plan started to shift for the Falcons, was when they dropped pretty much every formation in the playbook but the eye, and they went with just straight Strangey at the half and Coakley at the tail, and just started to go at the middle of that line, and it gave the quarterback an opportunity, or a little bit more freedom maybe, to have some time to throw. And then when you talk to the coach afterwards, the whole decision about going for two or going for one for the tie or for the win, and you go for the win, it's all or nothing. You could tell that the Falcons were starting to get gassed by the end of the game because there was just such a difference in size, particularly in the trenches.
Yeah, and he was fairly, you know, his comment was, you know, I really didn't want to give them the ball at the 10-yard line because you know what they were going to do with it.
You know? Mm-hmm.
So and again, you know, no risk, no reward, and seeing that they had Tewksbury on the ropes a little bit with that last touchdown. You know, see if you could catch him one more time, but it was a great defensive play, the breakup, and unfortunately there was that penalty as well. And it just seemed to be a disproportionate number of penalties called against Davis throughout the game. Not to be critical of the officials or anything, but Tewksbury had one penalty call the whole game, and it wasn't until deep into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there were a few offsetting penalties, too, as there were a couple of little outbreaks of intensity, shall we say, after the play, because it was a very hard-fought and an emotional game. We might not have felt it in the stands, I think, in the first half, but you could see it on the field. It was just intensely played.
Well,
it was, and as the game wore on, it got more intense and it got more testy.
Okay, so that's the Danvers-Tewksbury game. One of the keys in that game, not to belabor this, but it seemed like Danvers scored late right in the first half for their first score, so that made it a two-touchdown game going into the second half. And you guys, I don't know if you commented on the Falcon. You did comment on the Falcon defense in the second half, so that was one of the other keys to get for this comeback.
Yeah, no question.
They went after the quarterback. Again, just like the offensive line was getting better penetration against the Tewksbury defensive line, getting a better push. And I think that straight eye gave them that extra blocker at the point of attack to create the seam for Coakley, because they were chewing off 3, 4, 5 yards on almost every carry where in the first half. They were getting nothing from that defensive line, and they were playing a 5-man line with 4 linebackers behind them, so there were no gaps with the offensive set that that Dan was running. And certainly defensively, they managed to find some gaps. They just got it going, and they started to get a lot of pressure, not only off the edge, but up the middle.
And there was one play, Tim, if you think back, and we were talking about the defense, Tom Walfield had what we thought was going to be a strip and a fumble recovery, but the officials, and that was right about the 40-yard line, the officials made the determination that it was the tuck rule, that he was in the process of throwing the ball. It's the play call on the field, but there's Walfield, who's the smaller in stature of the guys on the line, still staying with the much bigger line on the other side. He had a really solid game. Elmany Vargas had a solid game. Ezra Lombardi had a solid game. Colby Holland, who we were talking about people just running out of steam, he played both sides of the football. I think he may have missed one or two plays, so he was in there for virtually every play out in the defensive secondary and then running the routes as a pass catcher. Isaac Downs had a typical Isaac Downs day, the kind of guy that just goes out there and does his job. He gets recognition in pockets throughout the season, but every time I look down, he was involved.
Yeah, but, you know, we didn't call his name a lot of that, and as I was going through my lineups today doing some highlighting, I was thinking, boy, there's a guy that last week against Lynn Clasco was one of the dominant players on the field. And yet we really didn't call his name, despite the fact that he was involved in a lot of plays.
Mm-hmm. All right, now,
you know, he didn't have a big role on offense.
Now, I was just looking at the transcripts of this program, our program this morning, and the first words out of Tim's mouth was tale of two halves. So I'm going to go right to John Squires. And, John, you were up in Marblehead Friday night, and that was a tale of two halves between Marblehead and Wilmington, right? Marblehead, the first half winner, Wilmington, the second half winner.
Oh, absolutely. It was just a very interesting ball game. In fact, Coach Redlip said that that's probably the best half of football they played all year. They couldn't do anything wrong. They started with a 32-yard field goal by Phelan T. Kane, which really set the tone for Marblehead. Andy Clough was a little overthrowing on his passes, but he started warming up. Timmy Cronin had a great first half with 2 touchdowns. And Marblehead went up 24-0, and they were in the driver's seat. Almost as if they started, I'm sitting there watching the game saying, I'm wondering if they're starting to look towards the winner of the Melrose North Reading, which turned out to be Melrose the following week. And then Wilmington came out loaded for bear, and Graham Smith, their quarterback, had a fabulous second half. He had 167 total yards for the game, but 150 in the second half. And they just kept coming and coming, and they went from their running game, turned it over to their passing game, and they, as it turned out, in the last 2 minutes of the game, they were driving for the tying touchdown, where Seamus Keeney stepped up from his defensive secondary position, intercepted the ball with 1:05 to go at the 14-yard line. So it was just a great football game, definitely a game of two halves. But Marblehead, once again, finds a way to really pull together. Their defense was spectacular when they had to be. Aiden Gillis had double-digit tackles. You had Will Bothworth had a great game. And Seamus Keeney played well, as I said, from the secondary position. Andy Clough ended up with 120 yards passing and a touchdown pass. Timmy Cronin had 2 touchdowns and 44 yards. Clough also added 86 yards running. And Marblehead moves on to play what should be a very interesting game against an undefeated top-ranked team, Melrose, who barely hung on and won the ball game in the last 10 seconds over North Reading. So that should be a beauty next Friday night over in Melrose.
Yeah, okay. I'll just make a quick comment on the Hamilton-Wenham game. Rick Moore and I were at the Arlington Catholic Hamilton-Wenham game, where Hamilton-Wenham won big, but they came out on fire. Probably been a long time since we've seen a team start the way Hamilton-Wenham started and kind of wrapped up the first half with a big lead at the half. They were on fire. I just direct people to the post. Rick has all the scoring up there. We have some post-game videos with Coach Jim Pugh and some players. That tells the story right there. A big, big win for Hamilton-Wenham. As they go on and take on Stoneham next Saturday, they'll be home against Stoneham, Will Hamilton-Wenham, in that D6 game. So Let's quickly continue back now to Friday night. Put the Wayback Machine on, and Bill Ricca at Lynn English. Now, here's a game. We have the video up on this post. We have all the scores up on this post, but Lynn English hosting Bill Ricca. And, Tim, you and I were there, and I'll tell you, I thought this was going to be a very close game, a very tough game for Lynn English, but instead Lynn English came out and dominated the football game.
Yeah, we thought it was simply because of the, you know, the reputation of the Merrimack Valley teams that come in. They're big, they're tough, they're strong, they're fast. All the words we use to describe these teams and they're really forged in the fire of the competition of their own league week after week. And just thought they'd come out and be able to do a better job of handling Lynn English, but English was just not going to let them do that on their own turf.
The other game Saturday, actually on Friday, St. Mary's won the first game of their game against Greater Lawrence, the first game of the doubleheader rather at Manning Field, to advance on to take on Brighton in the championship game of D7. Lynn Tech winning Saturday night last night against New Mission, and so they continue on. And we mentioned Linfield over Newburyport, convincing win there for the Pioneers of Linfield, going on to take on Watertown, John, that upset Somerville over the weekend.
Yeah, that's a real surprise once again. I really thought Somerville was going to maybe win that division. But once again, Watertown, I saw them last week over in Swampscott. They just pulled together. They were falling behind. They fell behind. They scored in the last 4 minutes of the ball game to beat Swampscott. And then they obviously did the same thing to Somerville. They won 21-20, which is a real close game at Somerville. And Somerville has those two real good running backs. And they're really a team of destiny. So that should be very interesting. Linfield and Watertown next week again over at Linfield. So and the winner goes to the Super Bowl. So that should be interesting. I'm surprised, but some teams really catch fire at the end, and this team has really caught fire in a bottle, so to speak, and it should be an interesting ball game against Linfield next week.
Hey, John, this week you told me which divisions do not go to Gillette, and one of them is the division that St. Mary's in. I think I'm right on that. What's the other division that doesn't go to Gillette?
Division 2, the Lincoln-Sudbury-North Reading winner does not go. So 2 and 7 do not go to Gillette, and the other divisions all go to Gillette starting early in the morning, where either Lynn Tech or St. Mary's probably will play early in the morning.
No, Lynn Tech, well, St. Mary's won't be at Gillette, you said, though, right, in 7, yeah.
No, St. Mary's, if they win next week, will not be at Gillette.
Right. So, and the other one would be the Lincoln-Sudbury North Andover winner wouldn't go either. Scott Guyard, so it's 2
correct.
And 7. Okay. Well, guys, this gives us our chance to you know, some open-ended thoughts. Of course, there's a slew of non-playoff games. We have all the scores up on this post as well involving North Shore teams. But Marty, Tim, and John, have some thoughts on things that we haven't really touched on yet on the Scoreboard Show.
Well, I guess I'll start. Just a couple of thoughts. Sorry, Marty, I didn't mean to interrupt. Colin Ferreri threw 3 more touchdowns yesterday, and now he has 28 for the season. And he's approaching the all-time record at Swampscott held by Kyle Beatrice. I doubt he'll do it in 2 games. That's all they have. They have one next week and then their Thanksgiving matchup with Marblehead. But the record there is 39. But he's had a fabulous season over at Swampscott. And they won yesterday, as you posted, 33-6 over Western. And then Vinny Gaskins had 172 yards to put himself over 1,000 yards for the season and has helped Salem to move to 5-4. And they could have a winning season for the first time in quite a while.
Good note.
And I'll open the season up on the speculation about the Super Bowl and the Thanksgiving Day games, because it's only a week away before we start talking about the coaching strategies. So let's say that English advances, let's say that Marblehead advances. You have the big Thanksgiving, long-standing rivalries between Marblehead and Swampscott that John just talked about. English and Classicals have played forever on Thanksgiving, and now you may have 2 Super Bowl teams that are going to have a game after Thanksgiving that puts the strategy of what do you do and who do you play on Thanksgiving out there for a lot of people to pick at.
Mm. You know, Marty, that's a real good point. And once again, talking about the Thanksgiving matchups, Bill and I talked about it a little bit. We have potentially
one, two, three, four, five, six teams from our area. English Marblehead, Linfield, Hamilton, Wenham, St. Mary's, Lynn Tech going to the Super Bowl. Now, Lynn Tech does not have, I don't think, a Thanksgiving Day game, but St. Mary's plays Fenwick, Hamilton, Wenham has a Thanksgiving Day, Linfield, Marblehead, we talked about in English, and that's a very interesting point to see what happens. And those other teams, I'm sure, that are not going to the Super Bowl, that is going to be their Super Bowl. They've all had good seasons. You're talking Gloucester and Danvers have two. That's also in that there for Thanksgiving. You're talking about Clasquill. You're talking about Swampscott. You're talking about North Reading. And Fenwick could all knock off those teams. And then they're certainly going to really, that's going to be their Super Bowl day, so to speak. So that should be a very interesting twist, as you've talked about, Marty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was actually thinking about that last night after I dropped you off, buddy. But what's going to happen to Thanksgiving to some of these teams? You know, years ago, when was it 2010 when Beverly lost their first five, won their next five, and then lost to Salem on Thanksgiving? You know, how much did Coach Bauer hold back, knowing that he had to go to the Super Bowl, he had to go to the playoffs the next week, and under the old system. It's going to be interesting to see how much time do they play a half. I mean, you can get hurt on the first play of the game, so just planning on playing for a limited time really doesn't work. And you almost, in some ways, insult your opponent by saying, "Well, we still got a game ahead, so we're not going to play our best players against you." And yep. and that can raise the level of intensity for your opponent as well. The guy that continues to amaze me, and we talked about it on Friday night, Bill, is Severn from Lynn English, the quarterback, the junior, started since his freshman year because basically there wasn't anybody else, and he really was the offense as much as English could produce, and now we've just seen the maturation process coming through, and there's not as much on his shoulders. You mentioned it the other night, he's playing much more relaxed because he can throw the ball downfield, know it's going to be caught, he can give it a running back, knowing they're going to make yards. His offensive line is protecting him. He seems to only run on when he calls his own number, and that's it. He's relying on everybody around him, and it's made, I think, English a much better team, and he just continues to improve as a player, and you made note of it the other night, how much he impacts their defense from his secondary position.
Yeah, he made some huge
Tim.
Now, let me just add, he made some huge defensive plays during the course of this year, including the game against Bill Ricca. And, you know, before he was kind of a solo performer out there because the other 10 players around him were okay but not the best, right now he's an orchestra leader. And that's the difference with Matt Severance this year for English High School. And he's, again, just a junior, not the biggest player out on the field, but one of the toughest for sure. John?
You know, that's a real good point. The other thing, I was going to exactly say that. He's one of their leaders on defense, and he's only a junior, and I think he could play the next level at defense. It's very tough to move on from high school quarterback to start, get the starting job at any division, 3, 2, or 1. I'm very aware of that. Many quarterbacks have tremendous, tremendous careers, Colin Ferrari being one of them, and they don't get the opportunity to play at that next level, at the college level, but they play at a different position. And Matt Severance really comes up and sticks from his defensive halfback position. So he's a real strong two-way performer, and you're right. I listened to the game Friday night. He's all over the field, both offensively and defensively.
One other note, too, on English High School. Severance ran for two touchdowns in the game, and sometimes we should have mentioned this earlier. Then he passed for two touchdowns to Tyshawn Anderson. One of them was a 99-yard touchdown pass, obviously from their own one-yard line. And Tyshawn Anderson at one point in the game had three catches for, I believe it was, 183 yards.
Yeah, and John Hoffman made the note that his three receptions and the yardage he gained nearly equaled that of Bill Ricca.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, that was at the half, too. That was when he was at right. No, that was a little earlier. That was when he was at 100 yards or so. But then he had some other big ones, so... All right. Well, that's true. That's a fantastic story. What English football has been able to do, and clearly they played their best football game of the year last week against last Friday night against Bill Ricca. So we're looking ahead to this week. We'll announce our broadcast plans, but obviously we hope to be following many of the same teams that we've been following right along here this past weekend. But we'll let you know for sure. Obviously, there's always some things that we can't always plan or figure out, so we'll keep you posted on that. Gentlemen, any other final thoughts on this past weekend of tournament playoff football?
One other final thought for me. Everett keeps steamrolling and rolling along. They took care. They beat a very strong Lexington team 49-21 Friday night up at Lexington. And they got a beauty coming up against Central Catholic at Lawrence the next Friday night. So, and incidentally, they are ranked in USA Today poll in the top 25, top, I think, 30 in the country. So that's been a long time since a high school football team from Massachusetts, let alone New England, has been ranked on the top in the country. And I'll tell you, Bill, we saw them over at the prep, and they're just offensively, they are really, really tough. And somebody said that they saw them the other night, Friday, and they're really, their defense is coming along. So that should be a real war up at Lawrence Friday evening.
Yeah.
And looking ahead to Thanksgiving, I'm not sure that I'm not sure how the Masco team game plans for. Team for Everett at Fenway Park. I think they'll get a good crowd because it's high school football and it's at Fenway Park and it's the night before Thanksgiving, but I wouldn't want to see what the odds are in this one in Vegas.
You know, I bet Masco would rather play the Astros at Fenway Park.
Incidentally, guys, next weekend starts the Fenway football at Fenway, incidentally, the where Brown plays Dartmouth Friday night, and I'm going in to see UMass take on Maine Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and one of our former players on the North Shore, Derek Dumais from Marblehead, we're going to try to hook up with him with an interview and maybe get some down on the field talk after the game, so to add a little bit of exposure for North Shore High School football.
Tim, I'll go to you.
Well, you mentioned it yesterday, Bill, the number of teams from the year that continued to play, Tech, St. Mary's, Hamilton, Wenham, Linfield, Marblehead, English. We're very well represented in the MIAA playoffs. And again, with a couple of good turns and some energetic offense, we could be spending a long time at Gillette on Super Bowl Day.
Could be. Plus, there's three undefeated football teams in Lynn, which is absolutely unheard of. Tech, St. Mary's, and, of course, Lynn English that we've been talking about. Well, I guess that pretty much does it for us. So great job, guys. Great talking with you. And that John Squire is with us, Marty Smith, Tim Kearns. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us on our North Shore High School Football Scoreboard Show on MSO News Sports.